Network.
Well, it's the final hour of this Friday edition, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, shortwave, XM radio, and the internet. And for the rest of the hour, we're very honored to be joined by Harrison Hagen Schmidt, or Jack Schmidt. And he's an American geologist, former NASA astronaut, university professor, and a U.S. senator for one term. He is the last of the Apollo astronauts to arrive and set foot on the moon. And he took some of the most famous photos. The bio goes on and on. We'll talk about some of that while he's on with us. But the main reason he's on today, and again, we're very honored to have him, is that he has been very outspoken, thank God, against global warming being man-made. We've had a lot of climatologists and a lot of researchers and sunspot experts and all these different fields, and 37,000 of them sent letters a few months ago to the House of Representatives, and they wouldn't even let them testify. The media ignored them, and then they used a few thousand scientists on the UN payroll to say, we've got to totally change our way of life. Carbon dioxide's a deadly poison. It's a national security issue. And astronaut Jack Schmidt has spoken out against that with his scientific training in PhD in geology from Harvard University and all his other scientific research. And the bio goes on and on. And he reportedly took the famous photo of the marble, blue marble of the Earth from the moon. And so it's pretty neat to have him on. We're going to break in a few minutes, but let's go ahead and introduce him. It's great to have you on, Mr. Schmidt.
It's my pleasure and privilege to be with you today.
I was flattered to learn that you'd actually heard of the show before.
Oh, yeah. We try to keep track out here.
Well, Mr. Schmidt, it's great to have you. Let's just launch into man-made global warming. I mean, they were growing grapes thousands of years ago in Britain, but they're not now. All the evidence shows it gets hotter and colder, and Mars ice caps get smaller, and then they get bigger. They're getting bigger again. Isn't it the sun, or am I wrong?
Well, all the evidence is that there's a solar connection. The amplification mechanism has not been determined by observation as yet, but the observations that scientists, who you might call field scientists, the people who actually look at what nature's doing rather than trying to model it, those observations clearly indicate, in my mind, and I think in thousands of other minds, that the ultimate connection is with the sun. Now, how small variations in solar irradiance are amplified into significant changes in ocean temperature, significant changes in atmospheric temperature, global cloud cover, and the like is still, I would have to say, in the realm of hypotheses rather than theory. However, there's a very good hypothesis, and that is that it's the solar magnetic fields that vary with solar irradiance that are really determining the flux of cosmic rays into the atmosphere and therefore the amount of clouds that form.
And they're forming what, the nuclei?
Yeah, they form, when they interact with molecules of oxygen and nitrogen in the Earth's atmosphere, you develop charged particles that then attract water vapor and become the nucleus for cloud formation. And when the sun is relatively inactive, for example, like it is right now, then the magnetic fields that protect us from cosmic rays are depressed. And you get more cosmic ray interaction with the atmosphere, more clouds, and therefore the clouds reflect more sunlight, and you end up with a cooling trend. And we've had that, as most people in the Northern Hemisphere at least now realize, we've had that for almost 10 years. You may have noted that there was a recent announcement that I guess it's Al Gore's hometown in Tennessee has had its coldest year on record so far.
Yes, there's been a lot of record. But not just that. Then the Al Gore people have been caught faking buoys and other weather stations faking higher temperatures in the last few years. Our guest is also the author of Return to the Moon, He's Harrison Schmitt. We're very honored to have him. He is an astronaut.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back. This is Alex Jones with important news. I want to warn you about a deadly storm that's fast approaching. A storm that will affect you and everybody you know. Here's the story. The current administration is committed to nationalizing health care, giving 40 million new people free care. Now here's the bad news. The current system will almost be immediately overwhelmed by these new demands for free services and procedures. Medicare and Medicaid are already bankrupt. Many doctors are now leaving their practices frightened by the prospect of forced procedures. All this is creating a perfect storm, which could create unimaginable shortages in the healthcare services. Folks, it's time to be prepared for the worst. Our friends at Solutions from Science have recently come up with an emergency preparedness course that reveals how you can make powerful herbal medicines in the privacy of your own home. It's called Herbal Preparations and Natural Therapies, and it's flat out the best course of its kind. I recommend you visit this important new website at MakeHerbalMedicines.com. That's MakeHerbalMedicines.com. Or call toll-free, 877-327-0365.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, we're really lucky today for the rest of the hour to have Dr. Harrison Schmitt, Jack Schmitt, American geologist, former NASA astronaut, university professor and former U.S. senator, and he also, of course, walked on the moon on Apollo 17. And don't worry, we're going to talk about that before he leaves us today, but the big crisis at hand is the hoax, the manufactured crisis of global warming. And I have Club of Rome documents, all that. We'll go over it with him, where they admit this is just their pretext to turn us into the Soviet Union and micromanage the entire carbon cycle. But I guess a lot of people out there aren't biologists or aren't geologists and don't understand this. But he's here with us today to go over the science of that, because he's bravely, because you get branded a heretic, come out against this hoax. And so, Dr. Schmitt, again, let's continue going into why you decided to go public and start talking about this whole carbon tax and the science behind supposed man-made global warming.
Well, the primary reason that I and thousands of other observers of nature, if you will, I'm a field geologist, have become more active is twofold. One is that we are concerned about the misuse of science, and particularly the misuse of modeling of a very complex system called climate that is so complex that it really can't be done. And in fact, there are many people who are experts in modeling, astrophysicists and others, that have said the same thing. Freeman Dyson, for example, that the climate system is just too complex to model, and when you get into it, you find that many assumptions that are made in order to just make what they call the physics work are just invalid. And any tests that you make against those models, against reality, have so far indicated the models are wrong. And so many of us just feel that although they're called climate scientists, they're not using science in the right way, and particularly modeling science in the right way. Models are very helpful in providing insights, but you should not base predictions of the future on these extremely complex models that are filled with assumptions. So that, number one, we've been concerned about the misuse of science. But I think more fundamentally, this misuse of science has led to politicians and ideologues to try to gain control of the American economy, and indeed the global economy, by scaring people. Now, the science is quite clear that there has been, since 1660, about a half a degree warming every 100 years. That is a natural cycle that represents the Earth coming out of what was called the Little Ice Age, an extremely cold period for the Earth, back in the beginning about 1400. If you want to read some of the history of the American Revolutionary War, you will realize, like the book Sam Adams by McCullough, you'll realize how damn cold it was back then. And that was partly that we were just moving out of the Little Ice Age very slowly, and it was still very cold. And so the natural warming is clearly happening, but there is absolutely no evidence, no observational evidence whatsoever, that the increase in carbon dioxide that has been measured in the last 50 years has had anything to do with that. Primarily because the warming started before the Industrial Revolution ever began. Now, where is that carbon dioxide coming from? Well, it's probably coming mostly out of the oceans, because the oceans are getting warmer. There's a lag in that process of the oceans giving up carbon dioxide as they warm, but nevertheless, and it can be a lag of a few centuries, but nevertheless, that's probably where most of that rise in CO2 is coming from.
Well, we're talking to Harrison Schmidt, Dr. Harrison Schmidt, Jack Schmidt, one of the Apollo astronauts, walked to the moon, took the most famous photo, one of the most famous photos ever of the moon and the little blue marble out there. We're going to talk about that later, but you know, you're a doctor in this. I'm just one who studies it and interviews scientists and people. But Al Gore got caught, according to all the ice core samples and people that I've interviewed and seen on television. He put the carbon dioxide going up with the warming, when really the carbon dioxide comes after the warming, as you just said. That's from all the governments, all the universities, all the ocean studies, ice cores, correct? So that's more cooking the books. And then they've also caught some of the top global warming supporters accidentally, and I put that in quotes, having false data from their weather stations and buoys jacking up numbers. So I just don't see how they say it's an open and shut case when the majority of scientists polled out there say that it's completely natural and that man-made global warming is a fraud.
Well, it is being used fraudulently. There's no question about it. And it's being used for political purposes, and hopefully the American people have started to realize that. Certainly there are surveys that indicate that the common sense of the American people on climate change is starting to take hold, as it apparently is on health care revisions and the stimulus, so-called stimulus package, where there is a concerted effort in the new administration and the Congress that's supporting them, what one might call the state-run media to support them, to move this country in directions that increase government control of just about every major facet of our lives.
Absolutely. You know, they wouldn't let anybody see 300 pages of the 1,300-page bill till right when they voted on it. Now we have it. Home inspections, federal power to kick you out of your house if they want, take over all the land. It allows 30-plus federal agencies to just levy taxes and fines outside Congress's power. It's kind of a letter of marque just being given to any agency or group to go out and piratically shake down the public.
Well, it's not encouraging. Liberty is definitely threatened under this current in this current political environment, and we just, all of us who believe in liberty, are going to have to begin to take steps to counter it. And it's encouraging to see the governors and the legislatures of a few states starting to push back in terms of gaining a founder's interpretation of the Tenth Amendment, namely that amendment that leaves everything not enumerated in the Constitution to the authority of the private sector or the state. And so that is, I think, a very, very encouraging trend, and I certainly hope that they'll continue in that direction to at least try to put the brakes on the legal brakes, the constitutional brakes on what's happening.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, the polls show you're right. That people are finally, you know, they've gone from 60%+ a few years ago believing man-made global warming was this big threat and we were all dead and carbon dioxide was deadly poison and would kill you in seconds, to now realizing that it is a fraud and a hoax and just a new tax. Now they've only got about 40% support, and that's imploding quickly. But it seems like the federal government, and as you said, the state-controlled media, the big corporate media, they want this new tax, they want this control, and they don't care. It looks like they're going to just ram it through, maybe.
Well, we'll see. You know, there's a lot of resistance, there's pushback now, and the August recess should help us as the common sense of the American people is put forward to their representatives. And we'll just see how we come out of this this particular period. You mentioned the corporate media. I would not necessarily blame it on it being corporate media. It's just media that's in the tank for this change, socialistic change in our political system, and it's because the just about everybody in the media now, reporters, analysts, and otherwise, have come out of a of an elementary, secondary, and college education that has been dominated by people who have less respect for liberty than you and I.
Well, yes, sir. Again, we're talking to Apollo astronaut Dr. Schmidt. My point was Rex Tillerson at ExxonMobil said, look, we've looked at this. This is just a tax on oil. This is a fraud. And then David Rockefeller, the majority owner, at a board meeting, this was in the news, said, you're going to come out and say it's real. And so even Rex Tillerson came out and said, okay, it's real. So when you see the NFL and every other big organization pushing it, when the American Football League is, the National Football League is pushing it, we know the establishment's behind it. Are you saying that that's just the incredible peer pressure and hype? Or is some scientists are saying this is the new global religion, this is the new organizing force?
Well, it has certain characteristics of a religion. In that there's a great amount of faith that the climate modelers have the right answer. But it is also, I think, related to a much longer-term ideological battle that's been going on far before climate change came along for the... It's an ideological battle of those that believe that you should maximize human liberty under certain guidelines, such as our Constitution, and those who feel that you should give up human liberty for a variety of their particular ideological reasons.
Well, I agree with you, Dr. Schmidt. We're about to break. We'll come back and get into some other issues as well, like healthcare with you, then, of course, get into the moon itself and what it's like to be an astronaut who's been off the planet. I guess you're amongst people who've been the farthest away from the Earth of anybody else in the world. I know your mission was supposedly there the longest, right? If I'm not quoting that wrong.
There's a guy named MZ in Santa Cruz, California, who owns one of our affiliate radio stations. He got laid off from a job he loved many years ago. He was devastated, but it taught him a lesson very early in life, that even when you do a great job for someone and your boss tells you how much he appreciates you every day, there is no job security. You are always in danger of losing your job, unless you take charge of your livelihood and own your own business. Since you are the boss, nobody can fire you. So MZ has been his own boss for over 37 years, and he is passionate about turning other people on to the joys and benefits of working for themselves and not for others. MZ wants to tell you about a low-cost home business opportunity involving the marketing of healthful dark chocolate that can help people lose weight and set you up with an impressive compounding monthly income. Visit chocolate.ownmyself.com and check out the opportunity. That's chocolate.ownmyself.com. It takes very little money, and if you're interested, MZ wants to talk to you. Remember, chocolate.ownmyself.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. Yeah, fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was having an amazing conversation just now with Dr. Schmidt, Apollo astronaut. We're going to get into all the space stuff in the next segment. And I brought up to him Eco-Science, Population, Resources, and Environment by John P. Holdren, the White House science czar, the guy that wants global warming taxes and to terraform the Earth with particula to save us. I mean, this is wild stuff. I mean, here's the Wall Street Journal saying they want to chemtrail us. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Sir, we were talking during the break. What do you liken this to? This saying, drug the water supply, sterilize the men and women. He says in this book, take all the children at birth and raise them in communal commune buildings like communist China tried, but it failed. You say you're aware of some of this. They admit in this book they want to use global warming taxes as a cover for their communism.
Well, I think that there are individuals, Holdren apparently among them, who, and in a very large number, who have taken the environment, captured the environmental movement, and turned it into what previously was considered a communist movement. And that's just something that people of common sense are going to have to continue to counter, and wake up enough so that they take control of their government again. It certainly is extremely important that the United States maintain itself as the beacon of liberty on this planet. There are all sorts of issues, space is included in that, where if we are not taking a leadership role in preserving liberty, then it will disappear. Because other nations have so far tolerated a continued attack on liberty that has been going on now, certainly since the turn of this century.
Well, Doctor, you're obviously very well read.
Turn of the last century, since the 1900s.
Absolutely. I mean, Doctor, you're obviously very well read on just the current news. I'm sure you've seen the announcements where they're saying, oh, we're going to have a new Bank of the World. You're going to pay your carbon taxes, a new world order. Al Gore called for a world government 2 weeks ago to, quote, administer the environmental movement. I mean, clearly, that's what Holdren says. He says a planetary government to micromanage and reduce our numbers by at least 80%. What is your view on that? And when you were in government as a U.S. senator, I mean, did you ever hear any talk like this, or is this starting to gain steam now?
I think it has been gaining steam. You saw a little of it in my time in the Senate back in the late 70s and early 80s. Partisanship was beginning to really raise its ugly head more extensively than ever, at least in modern times. But it has clearly taken off in recent decades, I think primarily because of the capture of the government school system by the opponents of liberty. And that is, I think, the fundamental reason why we are today. Now, does that mean that common sense has totally disappeared from the American people due to the education and the elementary and secondary school system? I don't think so, because you still see, particularly in current surveys, a great deal of common sense reappearing. But on the other hand, that has to be sufficient to take back control of the government. We let ourselves be lulled asleep in the last election cycle, the last two election cycles, until all of a sudden we have a president and a majority in both houses of Congress that think identically about these matters and are willing to try to force down our throats a further erosion of American liberty.
I noticed, Dr. Schmidt,
even with the decimation of our government-run school system, I think the American people are showing human common sense and saying, hey, this isn't going to work. It never has, and it won't work in the future, and let's fix it. So we'll just have to continue to see if that common sense will prevail.
Well, how obvious is it that all these other countries don't have to make carbon cuts? I mean, even if you believe in global warming and carbon dioxide is deadly, which is ridiculous, and they're trying to list it as a toxic waste, if we make the cuts, the businesses will just move to China and India and Mexico, and it'll boost carbon. I mean, it's just ridiculous any way you slice it. I want to get your take on that, Dr. Schmidt, Apollo astronaut on the other side, and we'll get into space technology. Should we go to the moon, go to Mars? What's next? Why haven't we gone back in 40 years? Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the new world order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame, blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here. I come back Sundays, abbreviated live show, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And parts of the show are re-aired on XM Radio and a lot of other AM&F affiliates across the country. We're very thankful to all those great affiliates out there. We're talking to Harrison Hagen Schmidt, or Jack Smith. He's an American geologist, former NASA astronaut, university professor, and former U.S. senator. He is the last of the Apollo astronauts to arrive and set foot on the moon. And he is also the first and so far only person to have walked on the moon who has never been a member of the United States Armed Forces. Neil Armstrong left military service, and then it just goes through some of that trivia. And he's got a book, Return to the Moon, that's up on screen in the Human Settlement of Space. Return to the Moon is the name of the book. You can find it at Amazon and bookstores everywhere. In fact, I've even seen it in the bookstore. I've even seen it in my dad's house. But the point is, great book. Be sure and get that.
Just modify one thing you said. I was the only non-military trained pilot to go to the moon, but I did receive outstanding training from the United States Air Force in jet aircraft and the United States Navy in helicopters. So I feel like I sort of had the best of all worlds.
Well, there you go. I keep telling my guys, don't print me Wikipedia stuff, because Wikipedia's got my name spelled wrong, and half of it's not true about me.
Yeah, hey, I hope your audience recognizes that Wikipedia has their biases as well. Trying to get anything in there to moderate their position on climate change is impossible. A number of people have tried to do it, and it just doesn't happen.
I was just joking, too. It's actually not from Wikipedia. The guys are about to box me in the nose in there. Wikipedia won't let you publish. I've talked to scientists who've tried any material basically trying to debunk man-made global warming in just one case I found. And it's just despicable because they're the first thing that comes up with almost any scientific inquiry. Have you noticed that, Doctor?
Yeah, Google's in that game as well. You know, the head of Google has a very close relationship with the president.
I have seen that. Now, I want to get a little bit more into the environmental movement and then into the moon and the time we have left with you, and also healthcare. But dealing with Holdren's book and all these other books written by people that just cram the universities and academia and social planning, this talk about the world being overpopulated when the West is actually, as you know, has a huge decline in its actual indigenous numbers, and dealing with this whole eugenics movement, this whole idea of the super race, I can't think of anybody out there who would be the archetypal Superman if it isn't the astronauts. Did they ever talk to you guys about this type of stuff? Or when you were in the U.S. Senate, you said it seems to be building more steam now. Holdren and these guys are talking about forced abortions, just this whole move towards eugenics. Are you concerned about that?
Well, I'm concerned about any movement that might have legs to it, but I really think it is more visible now because the people who think this way have gained power. It does not mean that they are going to be supported by the vast majority of the American people. I just think you have to continue, as the founders did, to put your faith in the people and in their common sense. Now, thanks to talk radio, they are getting some education that they would not have gotten otherwise. And it's up to you guys to expand your market and to make sure that the American people overall begin to understand why their common sense is what they should rely on and not on what they're told by the national media, the state-run media, so to speak. Now, I think the whole trend really began with the fall of the Soviet Union, because the great champion of the opponents of liberty, namely communism, had to find some other place to go, and they basically went into the environmental movement. And now, that's not to say there aren't some major and significant environmental issues, particularly at the local level. They converted environmental activism to a political movement, and some would say a religious movement.
Yeah, and really what these are is parasites. I mean, they want to organize our lives. They want to run our lives. I'll never forget back in the mid-90s, they were stealing farmers and ranchers' land in and around Austin in the name of environmentalism. They later built on it and sold it to themselves. They were just bank robbers, criminals. And I remember being in a meeting with these city council advisors, and I said, this isn't freedom. And they said, everything's a planned economy. You know, somebody's got to do it. I mean, they really think it's their job to run our lives. How do we beat the forces of tyranny?
Well, you have to do it by education and by reminding the American people that their basic common sense instincts are correct. Their own private property is important. Their incomes are important. And they should not transfer that to the government.
Well,
their first chance to express themselves politically is coming up in the next congressional election.
Well,
and you all and all of us have to try to mobilize the most massive turnout of people who reject this current approach and begin to turn it around and get back to what would be the basic fundamental principles of constitutional government that we were founded upon.
Well, I noticed you mentioned the last few administrations being a problem, and so I'm glad you're recognizing, obviously, that both parties are run by these special interests. Why would big wealthy interest want to collectivize things? Is that because it creates monopolies, allows them to shut down their competition? I mean, it's not just a bunch of hippies and communists running around that are doing this. They've got a lot of powerful friends.
Well, there's no question. There's a lot of money influence in this process, and I don't know what's motivating people who have basically been dependent on a free enterprise system to get where they are today. Now, clearly, small business, medium-sized business, the kind of business that I'm involved in various ways, they do not operate that way. But there are, particularly in the media and entertainment world, major corporations who have bought into and believe that their future is going to be tied to their economic future, tied to this approach to attacking liberty and to building a more socialistic approach to providing for the needs of the American people. That is a very dangerous trend. There's no question about it.
Well,
and made it even worse by the way we've allowed the Congress not only to become permanent fixtures. Very few congressmen and senators, if they run for re-election, ever get defeated. And that's in large part because the federal election laws have been biased towards the incumbent.
Yeah.
And now we've even seen that George Bush really made a major tactical error. But we've seen that the federal election law now permits an attack on political speech before each election by restricting independent advertising.
Well, Dr. Schmidt, Apollo astronaut, Apollo 18 astronaut, I'm sure you've probably seen the Cyberbullying Act. And they've even got local newscasts pushing it now. The press is that bad. The Hate Crimes Act, it now says if your speech causes someone to do something violent, even if you're not calling for violence, they're going to come arrest you. And now the FBI is fluttering around saying if somebody makes a comment on a message board that's yours, we may come after you for what they said. I mean, this is really happening to people I know.
Well, that's why we've got to make a change of direction in the United States government, a drastic change. And as I say, the next election is a key turning point. The next two elections are particularly key. If the powers that are currently in Washington maintain their control through this next election and the next two elections, then I'm not sure how you turn it around.
Okay, in the 16 minutes or so we have left with you, I want to shift gears now and get into the moon. Return to the Moon, and it has that really great other headline here about colonizing. In fact, guys, put that up on screen for the TV viewers.
Not I just don't the radio. Think you used that word. I think I used settling.
Sure, that's why I wanted to put it up on the screen so I could actually... There it is. The Human Settlement of Space, Return to the Moon. Tell us what that headline means for the book.
Well, the moon is the nearest place in space where human beings can homestead. The resources are there to once established settlements are established. The resources are there not only to support those settlements with the water and oxygen and food and other things that you need independently of the Earth, but there is one resource that's there that allows for an economy that can, through the export of that resource to the Earth, and that's a light isotope of helium called helium-3, which is a nearly ideal fuel for fusion power generation. And so that's what the book is all about. It tries to put together in a very, very broad way the beginnings of a plan for the private sector to initiate the settlement of the moon and to provide the Earth with a major new energy resource.
Amazing. Now, just because your bio is so lengthy, in a nutshell, tell us about your career as a AAA astronaut, lunar astronaut. Tell us about that. Tell us about the missions, just in a nutshell, and then I've got some questions.
Well, my career started as a geologist, the son of a geologist, actually, in southern New Mexico, Caltech trained, and then a Harvard PhD. I did a lot of field work in Norway and Alaska. And when NASA and the National Academy of Sciences asked for volunteers for the first selection of scientists, astronauts, I thought about 10 seconds and raised my hand. And I, figuring that if I didn't, I'd probably regret it. And I would have, obviously. But while at Harvard, I became increasingly concerned about the direction that Harvard trained public, so-called public servants were taking us, and figured that if I was that concerned, that sometime in my life I better think about getting into politics. That opportunity came after my astronaut career had essentially been completed, and I was elected to the United States Senate. Spent 6 years there learning a great deal about how sausage is made, more than most people would like to know, I think. And then in the middle of the depression of the recession of 1982, I lost my seat here in New Mexico and went into an accelerated learning experience in the private sector and free enterprise and business-related activities.
Well, that's awesome. And again, the book is Return to the Moon, available everywhere. Harrison Smith is our guest. How many moon missions were you involved in total?
Well, I was involved in essentially all the moon missions, but I only flew on Apollo 17, the last of the Apollo series. My involvement in other missions was multifaceted. I was primarily responsible for setting up the lunar science and field geological science training program for the pilot astronauts. I was responsible for overseeing for the astronaut office the development of various scientific experiments, the development and stowage of the descent stage of the lunar module.
And you also, as it said, discovered a lot of the most important rocks. Which mission put that laser up that the University of Texas contacts every few days?
What was actually deployed on the moon three different times. One, the first one by Apollo 11, as a matter of fact, 40 years ago, was a reflector. And the various observatories now shoot those reflectors, the three of them that were finally deployed, with laser beams and have been able to very, very precisely determine
the distance
from the Earth to the Moon, as well as the motions of the continent.
All right, we're running down on time, and you've agreed to come back on in the future on science issues. It's just amazing having you. But I will be broiled and skewered and drawn and quartered and hung and then tanned if I don't bring this up, because we talk about hoaxes. We have this giant government hoax of global warming right now, clearly trying to get control. Now, before I ask this, I want to say I have a friend, Raymond Teague, who worked on the main mission control on repeated Apollos, ran RCA cameras and then RCA cameras on Skylab. And I've known Raymond for 14 years, and he says the whole thing's real. None of it's faked, you know, the whole nine yards. And I know he's the real deal. I have other people I know being here in Texas who worked on the mission, and they say if there was any chicanery, then they were conning us too. And that's pretty darn hard to do. 40 years later, and I never really cover this issue, but I get calls every day, emails about it, TV shows everywhere. What is your take on the people more and more believing, I've seen polls as high as 30%, that aspects of the whole thing was faked?
Well, I think in a serious vein, it is another reflection on the government-run school system. That system does not teach history. There are several generations now who have come through it that have had very little exposure to American history or world history in an objective way. And right now you have a population that has not learned the complexities that had to be dealt with in order to put human beings on the moon. you have people who just for their own enjoyment, I guess, like to talk about conspiracy. And then finally, unfortunately, a lot of people don't trust their government anymore.
But in a way that, I mean, that's a positive thing to not be totally trusting. The founder said that. I think a lot of it's so much government lying. People are so untrusting now, they don't even trust me on a lot of issues. I mean, people don't trust their neighbors, and society does seem to be degenerating a bit. My only issue is, that said, that I know people that worked on the mission who say it was absolutely real, and you can watch famous films of them in Mission Control, people I know, they're not making it up.
For a conspiracy like that to work, you would have to conned 450,000 Americans.
That's how many worked on the program.
That's how many worked, and you just couldn't do it. People have to remember that there's still, when you have a population of the world as large as we have, a very, very micro percentage is still a significant number, and some of those people actually still believe the Earth is flat. So if a few of them want to believe that we didn't go to the moon, let them. It's not an issue that comes up in my presentations.
The Earth being flat—that's clearly ridiculous. Though I've actually been contacted by some flat earthers saying I'm covering up the fact that it's some Atlantean conspiracy. But the reason, I mean, obviously, you know, this has been building. I would imagine you get asked that sometimes because there are issues that make people question. And so let me just throw a few of those out to you.
Wait a minute. I think there are more important things to talk about, but just let me say that when I'm out talking to the public, I do not get that question. I only get that question from talk show hosts.
Okay.
Really,
but
that's true. And so I think we ought to spend our time on more important issues.
Okay. Why haven't we been back to the moon in 40 years?
Well, that's a really long topic, but the most immediate is that even though George W. Bush articulated a very good return to the moon and on beyond policy, neither his budget office or the Congress properly funded that. Had it been properly funded, we would be well on our way as we speak. But in the absence of adequate funding, we have had to slip schedules in order to keep the program alive.
Yeah.
Now you have an administration that, for all indications, is not going to pursue aggressive role for the United States in deep space. And they're going to leave that to the Chinese, potentially the Indians and the Japanese, and maybe Europe.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is an extraordinary mistake. It's as big a mistake in the long term as we could make relative to protecting liberty here on this planet.
Sure.
You have non-democratic regimes dominant in deep space, dominant on the moon and elsewhere, then it's going to be very, very difficult to continue to protect liberty on this planet.
Sure. Have you heard of I guess you were in the Senate around that time, Dr. Bob Bowman, who worked on some of the Star Wars program before it was declassified in the early 80s, and he's saying, and he's told me, he said, look, Alex, not only is there a space program, but there's a lot of it you don't know about, and I can't tell you about it, but he's mentioned a few things that have slipped out or been declassified, you know, the whole robotic program, and they admit that a lot of the shuttles have been military secret missions.
Oh, no, not a lot. There have been a few Air Force missions that are missions of the space shuttle in which there were some classified payloads, but you shouldn't
know.
The shuttle, all the shuttle flights, except with very few exceptions, have been purely civilian flights.
Sure. You did a lot of the photography on the moon, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, both Gene Cernan and I had cameras, and we took a lot of the pictures. I happened to be more active in taking pictures of the Earth as we went towards the moon, and so that full Earth.
But you took the famous blue marble photo, didn't you?
The full Earth that shows the continent of Africa in its entirety. Yeah, that's one I took. I was about 34,000 miles away from Earth when I snapped that.
Now, again, because people kill me if I don't ask, where are the stars? Is it because the moon's, I mean, the Earth's so bright that it blots those out?
Yes, it's the same problem you have on a sunny day here on Earth of seeing stars. just too much light for a wonderful optical system we call our eyes to handle. The eyes are great, but they do not have what scientists call the dynamic range to see both the bright surfaces and stars.
Well, that's like when the moon is up at night, you can't see stars anywhere around it, right?
That's correct. Same thing. The moon just dominates the eye, and the eye doesn't close down enough, doesn't close the iris enough to see the stars.
Well, I know we've got advanced technologies, and I know the A-bomb and the hydrogen bomb and the superconducting super colliders are real, and I know that there are some space plane programs, even if you say there aren't a Dr. Schmidt, that are going on. And so that's why I believe in our potential, and I want to believe we went to the moon, and I believe you, when you sit here. I mean, you sound very credible to me. I just, you say you don't get asked this on the street. People are probably scared to ask you. I'm sure you've seen it all over the news.
Oh, no. The American people are never scared to ask anybody a question, ever, believe me.
Well, I mean, certainly, it's a big, it's becoming a bigger controversy, and that's why I brought it up.
I understand. You have to deal with it. Fortunately, I don't.
Well, I know you're right about the global warming being a hoax, and, there's government and corporations engaged in a hoax, so I think that's, how do we fix this crisis of confidence? Because it's even happening not just with the government, as you know, it's happening with people in business now. How do we fix that?
Well, I think you fix it by, again, people of common sense taking back control of their government and making it right, and getting good people to run for office. I personally would like to see term limits, but you're never going to get the Congress to do it. That's something the states are going to have to do if we're ever going to have a constitutional amendment. The founders just didn't realize that their successors would make a career out of going into politics. It was not on their visible horizon.
Sure, we only got about 2.5 minutes left, Dr. Schmidt. One word to describe what it's like to be 400,000 miles away or less from the Earth. One word to describe standing on another planet.
Privilege. I was greatly honored and privileged to have an opportunity to do it, as were all of my colleagues. We were just the tip of the spear. 450,000 Americans held that spear, and we just represented them on the moon, but they made it happen.
And that is my last question on the issue, and then I will never bring it up to you again, I promise, if you join us again. How did the film make it back through the Van Allen radiation belt?
Well, that belt's doesn't have that much radiation. If it was going to damage the film, it would have damaged us. there is radiation there, and if you lingered in it over time, you could accumulate a dose that could be a problem. But we went through it so fast that there wasn't any significant dose on the film or on
us. Well, what's neat? We're starting to see space tourism. If they'd really give us a space program, some of us could live long enough to actually go to the moon. But pretty soon they'll say the moon doesn't exist and maybe it's made out of cheese. Let me tell you, Mr. Schmidt, Dr. Schmidt, Return to the Moon is the book. He's out there exposing global warming as the fraud it is, man-made global warming. Is there any websites to fire out, sir, or any other info?
No, I think if people look at the book Return to the Moon, they'll what the future be and how the...
Yeah, I'd like to have you back up in the next few months to just talk about the book itself and more about the moon. And thank you for entertaining those questions. Let me say bye to you here at the end. Retransmission starts now at InfoWars.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.